I think the most challenging is for a kicker, probably the wind, and then playing on a grass field at the same time with kind of rain, and when it gets sloppy, you're worrying a little bit about your plant foot as well as the weather, where at least here in Foxborough and Buffalo and New York, when we're playing there, you can kind of trust what you're going to feel because it's field turf and it's not going to kind of give out on you. That's, I guess you could say, one plus of playing kind of up in the Northeast here. And then the rain, luckily for me, I don't touch it with my hands. I just have to have, I have full confidence in Joe and Jake to do their part. We got a good couple of days in practice this week with rain, wet balls, and stuff like that. So I think we're pretty prepared for the weekend.
Patriots kicker Nick Folk on the weather and dealing with the conditions today in Buffalo. Time now to welcome in Jeff Howell of The Athletic, brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Times have been tough. Rockland Federal Credit Union can help with the products you need, a free on-demand credit monitoring tool, and the personal service you deserve. Visit rfcu.com today. Rockland Federal Credit Union, our legacy, our future. Jeff Howell with us now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
Let's start with the news this week on Julian Edelman. You were the first to report that, and now he has been placed on injured reserve. With that happening for Julian Edelman, what do you think the prospects look like for him to make a return this season if the next couple of weeks don't go well for him? Is there a chance if the team goes south, we don't see Edelman again the rest of the year?
Right. Yeah, I think that's the big question going forward that they just can't answer yet. Health-wise, he should be available to return at some point this season, but you have to wonder if, obviously, at least 3 games from now, if let's just call it a month or whatever, if the Patriots aren't in a competitive place in the standings, is it worth bringing him back, or from the team or the personal side of it? And you just say, hey, you know what? Go get this knee up. Go get this knee ready for potentially coming back next season. But I was just thinking about it this morning. I mean, we were talking about this last week with the receiver depth and the potential trade market and all that other stuff. And the big concern was, yeah, you go 3 deep and there are some imperfections with the top 3 receivers that they have. But what happens if any of these guys go down? Well, all of a sudden, a week later, Edelman's on IR. Harry didn't practice all week due to the concussion. And Damir Bird is their number one receiver with 3 undrafted guys behind him.
Just looking at, as we come upon this trade deadline, which is Tuesday, Election Day, what do you think Bill Belichick is going to do, Jeff? And do you think any of it will be dictated by what happens today in Buffalo? Or do you think he already knows, based on some of the comments he made to Charlie Weiss on Sirius XM radio, that he has an idea what this team is and what this team is not?
I think the biggest factor here is there just haven't been any acceptable offers on the table for any of their most tradable guys. Stephon Gilmore, Joe Tooney, I think, are the two big names right there. And any conversations that they've had regarding trades, whether they've been active or they've received them, you just haven't had a suitable offer. Now, I don't know exactly what it would take the Patriots to trade Gilmore. If I were running the team, I wouldn't do it for anything less than a first round pick. But any offer that's been on the table hasn't been anywhere close to that. Joe Tooney was another name that was floated around in the offseason because of the franchise number. And again, there just wasn't anything close in terms of reaching a contract extension or any potential trade talks. So I think until something like that really starts to change, yeah, you got to be looking at this and saying, you're not going to just sell for the sake of selling. You need to make sure that you get a good return on the investment there or what you're sending out. And then what you're bringing in, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know if teams are going to be sticking to the high prices that they're asking. Like Will Fuller, for example, is going to cost a second round pick. Like, give me a break. If that's the type of price that teams are going to continue to stick to over the next 48 hours, then it's going to be hard to be a buyer too. So you got to wonder, is a guy like Golden Tate, I mean, are the Giants really going to stick to saying, yeah, you got to give a 3 or a 4 for that? Then you just say, well, I mean, that's a tough price to pay for a guy like that. But I think the other side of it too is, you know, you could, if they lose in Buffalo and they aren't competitive like they had like last week against San Francisco, you might say that, yeah, they should be sellers. But the other part of it too, you have to evaluate the quarterback position, not just the rest of the way, but what are you going to do going into the offseason? And how good of a job can you realistically do evaluating Cam Newton or even Jarrett Stidham if he comes in down the stretch when you're throwing to the receivers that you have on the roster right now, because that's a position that needs to be greatly overhauled. And you have to be able to know, are these guys at quarterback going to be more capable with a better group to throw to?
I mean, I think you have conflicting directives there. And here's what I would say, Mark. I'll throw this out there to you as well. I think there's sort of conflicting directives there, and I understand what you're saying, and it's a really good point, Jeff. But if Bill's saying this is a clean up the cap year and it's sort of a reset year, then you can't really go out there and start giving up draft picks for veteran wide receivers, can you?
What if they have term, though? What if they have term left on the deal?
Mohamed Sanu had term.
And it's for, yeah, but someone better, obviously.
Okay.
The goal is to not trade for Mohamed Sanu again, Chris. The goal would be to get someone with term left on the deal that you believe has multiple years left of playing at a high level. Or, you know,
I mean, I'd take a flyer on a guy like a John Ross, but I think if you're talking about a Will Fuller, as Jeff brought up, or if you're talking about trying to get basically a rental, Marvin Jones, or you're talking about Kenny Stills, guys that can be free agents, I'm just not sure that really makes sense for the team, given what Bill has said about cleaning up the cap and trying to maybe reset here. You want to make sure you have a clean cap sheet, and you want to make sure you have all your draft picks so that you can remake and remold this team the best way possible.
So, Jeff, I guess another question would be is, do you think there's any possibilities of player-for-player deals that the Patriots could make?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's certainly a possibility. I mean, they have some tradable assets. I mean, there's another, like J.C. Jackson is another guy. But even, like, would you trade J.C. Jackson right now when you can just give him a first or a second round tender next year?
Like, not at all. I'm not trading that guy. In fact, he's one of the guys I named the other day on Zolak and Bertrand. I said, if they trade J.C. Jackson, I'm going to be pissed. You can't trade that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest leverage there, though, is he's a restricted free agent next offseason, and you can basically figure it out next year. So you don't have to be in a rush. But, like, let's say Arizona or whoever, like a cornerback needy team calls looking for either Gilmore or Jackson and puts a one on the table, then you have to give that some real, real thought.
Sure.
And, I mean, even Tooney, like, it doesn't even have to be a content. Like, everybody needs O-line help. But if you're like Cincinnati, how long can you let Joe Burrow – continue to take a beating when he's clearly your franchise quarterback? I mean, if they call with one of their second round pick, I mean, Tooney has been your offensive MVP, which is good and sort of bad in a way. But you kind of got to think about letting a guy like that walk. And to Chris's point about the conflicting directives, like, I wouldn't give up a second round pick. They obviously don't have a third rounder next year they'll get a comp pick eventually, but I wouldn't give up a second round pick just because you want to have as many early round assets as possible with this draft class. And it's not just the quarterbacks. I mean, there are a couple really good tight ends. There are some awesome wide receivers coming out. You have a chance to answer some of the offensive issues that have plagued you for much of this season and last season. So you definitely don't want to be giving up that capital.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Jeff. And I think that's the challenge. And I think this trade deadline comes at a little bit of an inopportune time for the Patriots, because you sort of have to make a decision. And somebody like Tooney, because he's playing on the franchise tag, and you're not going to franchise him again at the new number or 120% of this year's salary, like, this is, unless you feel like you can come to a long-term agreement with him, this is kind of like your only shot to get something for him. It's a little bit like the Jimmy Garoppolo situation in 2017, where you're at the trade deadline now and you have to make a decision whether you feel like you can retain this person or not, because the worst thing to do is to let an asset walk away for nothing.
Yeah, and I guess with Tooney, you're looking at, because he's probably going to get a big contract next offseason, so you're probably looking at a third-round comp pick in 2022, but that's not going to help you. So even if somebody comes calling with a third-rounder for 2021, you know, that's a hard question that you're going to have to try to answer, because that's not bad value as much as it would be a stomach turner to let him walk with how good he's playing.
Jeff, good story this week, by the way, on The Athletic that I wanted to point out on Brandon Spikes that you profiled. And I would not have pegged Brandon Spikes as a guy who's done well in the stock market. You know, usually the guys that have car crashes and abandoned and ditch cars on the side of the road don't end up working the stock exchange, but he's done well.
He is. He's one of my favorite personalities that I've ever covered in 15 years, whether it's this team or other teams or whatever. Just, I always had a good rapport with him. He's a really, really interesting guy. He has an interesting background. I know he's a lot of the negatives in his reputation are self-inflicted, but a genuinely good human being who's really starting to do well for himself after his football career.
Let me tell you something about Jeff Howe. Yeah. Jeff Howe is a man's man because the linebackers always respect Jeff Howe. He always has a good rapport with the linebackers.
The linebacker
like
guy,
Jeff. He's part
big
of
linebacker
he's
guy.
Part of the backerhood. He is a man's man. The linebackers look at Jeff Howe and say, "This is a man that I can trust. This is a man who gets me."
You take that old Sports Illustrated photo and just Photoshop me right
yeah,
into it.
Part of the backerhood, Jeff Howe of the Athletic.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the time as always. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
all
Jeff.
Right. Jeff Howe with us here on Patriots Preview. We'll be talking to Paul Perillo of Patriots.com.
High-ranking member of the Patriots organization.
Yes, as always.
To answer these trade questions.
A high-ranking member of the Patriots organization, a man who gets his paycheck from the Patriots every 2 weeks, I assume.
RKK in that corner.
Lower right-hand corner.
Yep.
Paul Perillo with us on the other side. They're on the Safety Insurance, 98.5 The Sports Patriots Radio Network.